Going. We're Yay. Live. Guys, I am live on the Captain's Log with Dolph Ziggler. Do you always go by Dolph no matter what?
It depends. If I'm checking into a hotel, I use a fake name.
You do?
Well, just
you use like Ziggler Dolph?
An hourly one.
Yeah.
Sometimes you go by Brent, right?
At Brent sometimes. Yeah.
Really?
We were doing a show in Arizona and this guy comes up and goes, oh, big fan. Brent, right?
That was the and best thing that's ever happened to me.
On my phone, he's Brent.
Brent's a good, that's a good way to
the
go.
The guy went up and it was like, she made it a little quicker. He gushed about stats and things that he knew and titles. He goes, I'm a big fan, Brent, right? That's the
greatest thing. Did he have the stats right?
He had everything. He had everything right. He knew what it was and he just called me Brent. And there's not even like a wrestling guy named Brent.
Yeah.
I don't know where Brent
came Maybe he from. Wanted like Brett.
But even
Bret Hart, right?
Even I don't look like Brett, but he distinctly said Brent, and that's the funniest thing that I've ever remembered from a fan.
That's great. Brent, so, literally, you just told me you were 5 and you decided you want to be a wrestler.
Yeah.
But the difference was is that you obviously were wrestling not WWE style. Yeah. You started like doing regular Roman Greek, what is it, Greco?
Well, we say amateur, which sucks because it's like, it's way cooler than like an amateur sign. That just means you're not getting paid. But yeah, Greco-Roman freestyle and collegiate style. I was a big fan and I wanted to start wrestling and I walked into the first ever tournament and there was no ring, no ropes. And I was like, what the hell is this? So it's, just collegiate style wrestling. It's very different.
And you actually wrestled all through college.
You were a college wrestler, which is super cool.
5 years old through college. And then, while waiting to get a tryout, I had a couple little odd jobs. But I've basically been doing this my whole life.
All right. So fast forward, you get the tryout because that's interesting. Like, how did you literally get the tryout?
So I'm a much smaller guy for my business at the time. This is 15 years ago. And, they were just about the time where they had a rule where anyone under 6'2 didn't even get a tryout or anything. So I went to a pretty prestigious wrestling high school. And through our coaches and our coaching staff and having connections just to shake hands with somebody at WWE, because Gerald Briscoe is an Oklahoma State guy. And he was our behind the scenes guy. He was a real tough what we call a shooter in the business. And then, he's a real wrestler, but also behind the scenes and in the ring, he was a tough guy too. So he was one of those guys who had the credentials to back up what he did. And he worked through WWE and I met him through a coach of mine through St. Ed's. And I just got to shake hands and come watch a show and talk to someone for about 5 minutes and told them, how much I loved it and what I was doing. They said, hey, keep doing what you're doing. When you graduate, maybe we'll give you a call or something. And
did you think that was a real... blew you off, or that was a real deal?
They gave us tickets and talked to me for a few minutes. I go, I felt like it was real because like there was a real connection with looking for some people in this reality era who actually had the credentials to back stuff up. So no matter how small I was, if I loved what I was doing and dedicated myself to this like I did with amateur wrestling, that they'd be happy to have me. But who knows? So I had a tryout with a much, much bigger guy.
Really?
And they went with him and said, we'll talk to you some other time. And another 8 months went by or so, and I had one more tryout with them. And I had worked so hard trying to figure out it without being in wrestling training, just on my own, and just from being a fan, that helped me like acclimate to it much quicker than everybody else. So I had another tryout with a handful of guys, and I was getting up quicker and naturally going into motions quicker and just picking it up.
What did they make you do? Like jump off picnic tables?
No,
like drop elbows?
No.
How do you try out for the WWE?
You fall down and get back up and fall down and get back up. And a lot of it is just having endurance and stamina, period, because you're doing all these workouts and they want to weed out people who aren't seriously in shape.
And who aren't athletic, right? Because you got to be athletic
as
hell.
You really do. No matter what you look like or what you do, you have to be able to be athletic because everyone
just because
now is
guys
a renaissance,
are muscular,
men and women.
Doesn't mean they can move. Some guys are really stiff, right?
A lot of times, it's the opposite. They're very stiff and they got to loosen up, or you got to be the loose guy who has them around. So I was in there with a few people who kind of were fans, but casual, and just they wanted to try it and they tried it, and I stood out because of the group I was with wasn't as athletic as myself. So like,
where do you go to get that tryout?
I went down to
Walmart, probably.
Yes, it's a parking lot.
Is it the cave?
Well, it's a super K, so it's a little bit
fancy.
Yeah, it's real fancy. I wore like a collared shirt.
Sarah Tiana, by the way, is also our guest back there. Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
And she's going to be performing tonight with Dolph at Off the Hook Comedy Club. Yes. There's a show at 7 o'clock, and you can get tickets at offthehookcomedy.com. We're on the captain's log right now. So we're talking about you coming up and your tryout. So, I mean, at the time, there wasn't like, you couldn't could you email people or was it?
Man, was there emails? I got a call.
You were calling, right?
But yeah, but I mean,
electricity wasn't there. Right?
There was like a crank you turned, but
Hamster used to run next to the ring. Yes. I think right.
They had emails and things, but it was all like on a phone and like a non-cell phone, like my parents' family phone. I got a phone call. To,
okay.
Like, I had a message and to go.
Hotmail.
Yes.
Happening.
I wish.
And after AOL. You did the tryout, wait. So first 8 months. Before you didn't make it because it was a monster guy.
Yeah.
Then what did you do? Like, what was your training between
him,
the 8 months in that time? I mean, like, you're wrestling, but a lot of moves that you guys do are not moves that you learn that you were doing in college.
Yeah.
I mean, these are athletic, like acrobatic moves rather than like, right?
And you have to know how to do them, and I did not know.
That's
how
what I'm
to
saying.
Do
so what did
trained.
You do? Go to like the circus? How did you train those 8 months?
What I did was I'd read Mick Foley's book.
Oh, I met Mick Foley. Yeah,
he was throwing himself, jumping over the hood of his car, and landing on his back in his front yard. And
is that how you train?
Training. So I tried that, just trying to toughen up my back.
You did?
And I was like, man, this is going to make me so much better. Yeah. And it eventually just, I had like these golf ball swellings all down my back. And I went to the tryout. But when we did all fall down and you don't know what you're doing or how to fall or catch yourself or anything, I was jumping right back up. And the other people were kind of slow to get up.
Trying
and
to figure
it,
out.
It really made me stand out.
Really?
Yeah. And that was part of it. Like I said, being a fan.
So
like,
guys,
oh,
don't jump
like
on your
before.
Back no, off the top ring, and it's not going to make you any better, but this is actually how he did it.
Yeah, don't try this at home, even though I did. Kind of crushed it.
Wow. So then you got back, and they were like, this guy's like a gazelle. He moves, he's quick, he's athletic.
And I have those dancer's legs like a gazelle.
Yeah.
But no, they knew that I was a fan, a longtime fan, and that I had dedicated myself to wrestling and I was going to do it again. And they took a chance on me because I want to say about 6 months after they said, all right, you know, we're going to give you a tryout. We'll sign you to a contract, but you'll be, you know, in our minor leagues in Louisville, Kentucky to see if you can make it to the main roster. About 6 months into that, they made a decree that 6'2" or higher or you can't even get a tryout.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, didn't even matter what you are. Who you were, or what you knew. Or
why'd they go with 6'2"? Because
I just remember
to look
hearing,
massive in the ring. Or whatever.
I think and it is you know it's WWE. It's larger than life at the time. This is 15 years ago,
right?
And they wanted everyone to be big, giant superstars.
Yeah.
And now we've become these Renaissance men and women that could are cardio and stamina shape and muscly and can flip and can dive
right.
And can catch the diving people and can talk and
like
can go
the Ultimate
to
Warrior back
and,
in the day, right? Yeah. I mean, was he one of the only dudes, right? In Jimmy Superfly Snuka.
Oh,
these guys were athletic and muscular like everybody is now, right?
Yeah, it's a lot of it's a lot of training that goes into it and being loose in the ring, and you could be all of those things and still, not make it because it's like showbiz.
Right.
If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. So luckily, because of, I think, people knowing the hard work that I did, people got behind me even when I wasn't really doing too much.
All right, so you get the tryout, they're like, we like this dude, let's, sign him?
And then
who makes your character? Like, how do they give you the storyline?
They go, hey, man, go train and learn how to do this for 6 months, and then you'll slowly start developing a character.
Oh, they'll figure out
promo classes, and you kind of pitch some things, and they pitch some things. But, I mean, I thought of all these different things. I actually even pitched a long time ago as, like, Nick Winters from, like, Bill Murray on Saturday Night Live. Like, a lounge singer, like, comic. But that was a time where you were pitching crazy characters. Now it's more, it's very real, and you're this guy, people know me not as a caddy or a cheerleader as I actually one of the characters I was. They just know me as like, oh, he's a guy who works hard and is awesome at his job, but always almost wins the big one. Like you become like these real life characters because you're, half of you or more is invested in this. But at the time you're pitching crazy stuff to get noticed and, just working on falling down and tucking your chin and trying to be smooth and loose as you can be, because even someone like me who was a fan and picked it up quickly, was so used to like not showing emotion in amateur wrestling. You break your arm in a match, you don't let anyone know about it, you know, and here
yeah,
and
how, now has that happened? Did that happen to you?
I've had my shoulder go out before in college, and you just had to like bite down on your teeth and get through the match, and because your opponent knew they could kind of just kind of go with it, so you know, or you'd have to stop the match or something. So you got to this point where you got to learn to let everybody see what you're doing because you're, you know, performing.
I've never seen them stop a match though.
Really? It happens.
It does?
Yeah.
They just time out?
No, if somebody gets busted, it's almost along the lines of MMA, like to where if someone's knocked out or
blood's gushing somewhere.
Or something like that, and they'll stop it just to check, you know, to make sure you can still continue.
All right, so now you go through the 6 months of training, you come out.
Is that your rival in town, Captain Bob?
That guy, I tell you right now, I don't know. This guy's an imposter, I think.
We just passed a truck that's like, this guy's like, does fire cleanup for like emergencies.
Yes.
But he's smoking, like, chain smoking cigarettes. Like,
welcome to Florida, welcome to Florida.
Like creating the problem so that he can solve it.
It's an inside job, yeah, I like that. Guarantees he always has work.
There he is.
Really?
The fire service guy.
He's smoking and picking his nose. Yay.
So you get the 6 months. Did you learn? Obviously, you learned a crap load during those 6 months. But how did you feel athletically? Like, were they doing way more training than you normally did? Or
no, I feel like I've had the stamina I've had from. I went to a pretty cool, pretty awesome high school, St. Ed's, and there in Cleveland, Ohio, where we were pushed to be in the best possible shape all year round to wrestle and do other sports, to where I feel like I kept that with me my whole life because I never stopped training like that. So we had it was like 5 days a week we'd have something, but I was coming in not from doing the independents, not from having any prior experience, and I wanted to learn as much as possible. So I was coming in early in the morning with a friend of mine, and he was training me the basics.
So you were putting in extra
then
hours.
Then I would do our normal class, then everyone would go home, and I'd come back at night and work on it with a different coach just so I could put 3 years into 6 months of just trying to get as awesome as I could. And I've been doing that ever since.
And then does Vince just come down and be like, okay, let's get this guy going, he's ready to go? How is that?
There's in-betweens. Yeah, I mean, meeting him was a crazy thing, and it took a while. I was like 8-10 months in before I even met him, but because there's so many in-betweens.
Do they pay you during that time?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no. I was under contract, so I was being paid, so I wouldn't have to get a side job.
And
so
did you have this long, sexy hair at the time, or did you start growing
it
out?
I had a military flat top for 25 years.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Once I did a character came up as a caddy and a cheerleader, and once those were over with, then I started growing my hair out to just do something, to have a different look.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. And meeting Vince, like, is it like he flies in his private jet and like, okay, you're gonna meet Vince
that might have happened in some other eras or times, something, but I was called up to our Monday Night Raw, our TV show, and I was called up to just go meet him in between him getting ready for the show and getting everything done.
Were you on the bill that night? Did I say the right thing?
Sure.
On the bill?
Bill, marquee,
I know
card,
nothing about what
stuff.
I'm saying.
It's
I'm
a
just
card,
acting.
Usually. You know?
Okay, on
just
the
like
card.
A comedy card that you set up a lineup.
Okay.
No, but I was just there to meet and say he had an idea for us or something, and that's where we met him, and he was
Do all the ideas come from him and trickle down, or not?
I feel like there's groups and groups of people around him, and he throws ideas out, and they throw them off him, and he's still the boss, and he runs everything, and he puts his stamp on every little piece that happens, but there's some people around him that, he asks for ideas and tries things out, or the talent pitch ideas all the time.
Yeah.
So,
and when you're in a talent, like when you're pitching, okay, so this is the question. You're pitching the fight. Do you guys pitch like a match as well, or do those get already set up and then you know what's going to happen?
It really depends. If you're good at this or you know what you're doing, you pitch a story or a 6 month thing of like, here's the idea, and you almost like you're pitching a movie, and then you fit in, here's where this match could go, and here's where this one would be, and then we could lead and build up after 3 months to a steel cage match, or you tell the story where there's ups and downs, and you hope that they take it and use it, and sometimes it's modified, sometimes it's totally different. But the idea is to always give those ideas in there just in case you're doing something you don't want to do. You go, here's these 20 other options I have. What do you think? And maybe they'll still go with their idea, but you never know.
What about the sportsmanship, like, between the different wrestlers? Like, in in different sports, they respect the opponent, but they also usually hate them. Like, I played baseball in college. I was the guy that they hated to play against, but they loved to play with. Like, so you have guys at the end, you'll shake their hand, but before the game, like, I want to spit on them. Like, how does that feel?
I feel like in the 80s and 90s, it was more like that. It was a little more Wild West kind of people not knowing, you know, who was trying to screw them over in the ring or something like that, or, you know, take advantage of them or break their arm or something.
Right.
This is a traveling team family dynamic to where
you guys
we're all watching each other's back.
Together?
No, but we go city to city, you know, in groups or by ourselves or whatever, but you know that we're out there to put on a great show.
That's right.
And make it great. So even if someone's being unprofessional, if you've been around long enough and you're good enough, you make up for it by making sure nothing happens in the ring and you can take care of it backstage or something like that.
And it is a show. I mean, you guys are like world-class entertainers now. It's amazing.
We have a pretty good
level that's come from, right?
Yeah, it really did. You know, in the 80s, sometimes it was a big, strong guy who couldn't move around too much, and sometimes there'd be some small guy flying around, but now it's, I said before, it's Renaissance men and women. You have to be able to talk, be funny, be cool, be serious, be able to catch somebody, be able to jump off the top rope,
totally,
be strong, be constantly be able to go on a media day and do something and go right to a match.
Do they give you media kind of skills on how to be like more charismatic? I mean, because the personas are bigger than life, like some of these guys, especially you.
Yeah, it's sometimes that's the case, and sometimes there's classes, and now they have NXT, which is this world-class entire arena of their own to train with, you know, people working on the microphone and people working on characters and people working on the wrestling. And it's this amazing facility that they have now. But
they must also incorporate gymnastics kind of moves or whatever, right?
I mean, when I was first learning that stuff just hanging out.
Like, how do you know? Because I went on the ring once and I banged off the ring.
Who let you in the ring?
in the Boston Garden.
Oh my God.
And I was in the ring.
Sold out?
It was sold out, yeah. I was given one of these
there
kind of things, you know. I wanted to hit the fans.
Yeah.
I bounced off the ropes. I was like, damn, that thing didn't move.
What is up with that?
People think those ropes are like sprint. They are not very movable.
It's a tight rope.
Tight as hell.
You're bouncing off it. We need to have someone like the Big Show, who's 500 pounds, be able to bounce off it also. So, and, you know, without snapping or breaking.
It's
so
like a steel guard. I was like, that is not what I imagined.
When you're first getting into it and you're hitting the ropes a bunch of times a day, you eventually develop like this big patch of bruise and callus down
your
side.
I can imagine.
To where you get used to it after a couple months, but it takes a little bit.
Because what's the tension on those things? It's always the same, right?
Really? Yeah, it depends. It's a traveling thing, so sometimes, like, hey, guys, watch it. The ropes are a little bit loose tonight, or hey, can you tighten them up? We can fix them. But for the most part, it's very similar all the way through, and you get used to it and you know it. Or if you're a pro, when you go out there during your entrance, you kind of give a little tug just to let them know where they are.
So you get an idea.
So you always know where you are and what's
going on. Were you surprised when you hit the rope that they weren't like
this? Oh, sure. I didn't know when anything was
happening. I hit the rope, and I was like, what the hell?
Yeah.
It felt like a wall.
Yeah.
I was
kind of barely hitting it, and I'm not a bigger guy, so I don't think it moved an inch. Yeah, it's pretty.
I was shocked.
Then you get used to it, to where you go, you know, you gotta pop into them so you can pop out of there and go into something. So that's just one of the million things that you gotta learn, and that's what we're constantly telling people: don't try this at home or like the backyard stuff, because people can get hurt really bad. And like, even a fan like me who was training for months, I don't know everything. I'm learning something new every day, and it's been 15 years, you know.
That's amazing. So when did you decide you were going to be a stand-up comic? I mean, you had a passion for it. You told me, like, you started out kind of thinking that almost was your character at the beginning.
Yeah, well, that's something I tried. Just something for 15 years or so, I've been filling up notebooks with just, you know, not just wrestling stuff, because I have a weird job and you bump into crazy people and you're constantly in airports and living a weird life, but just constantly, you know, I'm someone who is annoyed by everybody all day long, every little thing that happens to me. So I was writing down things about happening at work, but mostly like I'm at Chipotle and someone cut me in line or someone did something different. And it's like, this is the stand-up comedy part, where your real life that's driving you insane. And it's like the wrestling part was keeping me sane and keeping me, I can get out my aggression. But filling up the notebooks and constantly, you know, running ideas by people and just looking up to comics my whole life, and like someone like Andy Kaufman, to where he did a little bit, you know, of comedy and wrestling, and was a genius about it. And I read books about him and I go, this is very interesting. And then you find a way to where you can not trick people, but where you can make it more real than other people can, and you can blur lines And when people aren't sure if this is part of the show or if this is real, it becomes an art.
And then longevity. Like, you can obviously be a stand-up comic a hell of a lot longer than you can run around in this ring. I mean, that's got to be taxing on your body, right?
It really
Sarah,
is.
Sarah, me and you getting in the ring, right? Imagine? Damn.
No way.
I feel like Sarah would be good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
In the ring?
She probably has a good...
No, a ring's not in order for me in any way.
Elbow drop or something.
Don't you feel like punching me all the time?
Yeah, I do punch you, but not even in the ring.
But see, if you did it in the ring, it'd be worth so much more money.
You should punch up your jokes.
Oh, Sarah.
That's
no,
great.
Your jokes
That's
are good.
Great.
Everybody should see that. Like,
well, we're going to see you tonight at Off the Hook Comedy Club, yeah, 7 o'clock. Yeah. There's a meet and greet at 6 o'clock. You can get tickets for it at offthehookcomedy.com.
If you're a family or there's some little kids and you're not allowed into the club during the show, that's why we do the meet and greet ahead of time at 6 o'clock.
Yes.
So we can have some kids and have... Because I always have people reaching out and go, I have these little kids. I have my family with me. They want to do this. Come to 6 o'clock. We'll do the VIP meet and greet and then we'll get to the show.
And you get first dibs at merch if you come to the VIP meet.
Oh, what kind of merch do we have?
Wearing a shirt right now.
Oh, hey!
Easy, Sarah, Tiana, Rock and Roll Cupcake one.
I love it.
Yeah.
We have shirts and hats, and it's really cool because with WWE, I don't have a lot of cool merchandise, so I went out and made my own. And
good.
It's my favorite stuff, and my fans dig it, and I dig it, and that's the most important part.
That's the way to go, because then you get to meet... People feel more like they're satisfied. They got the whole package when they get merch and everything.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, and it shows that you're like not just going to WWE shows. You're coming to these comedy shows. You're always going to be
Say hello, and we'll be back tomorrow. I got